Glory to God. Are you glad you came to church here today? Yeah, well, it's so good to see everybody. I trust that you're hungry for the Word of God. Amen. Again, we just welcome those that are visiting Family Church this morning. We're just so glad to see new faces with us all the time. Amen. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here, and we're just so glad to have new family with us. And of course, we're honored that you would be here today. But of course, the only thing better than having you here today would be to have you here all the time. And of course, we just want Family Church to be a place where you get answers for your life right out of the Bible. It's not my opinion that counts. It's not your opinion that counts. It is God's opinion that counts, right? And we say this every week. We quote Jeremiah 29:11, where the Lord says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. You know, like Cervantes said this morning, and he quoted John 10:10. I'll tell you, if something ever got stolen from you, it wasn't God doing it. Because his goal is to give you life and life more abundantly. And of course, people hear that and they think, oh, is he talking about finances? It is everything across the board. It is nothing broken, nothing missing. Joy and strength and peace in your life. God has it. Of course, we have to be persistent in coming to where the answers are, right? And the answers are in his word, in a Bible-teaching church. Of course, we're not the only Bible-teaching church in town, but we are one of them, praise the Lord, where, you know, when you show up here, you're not going to get opinions, you're going to get God's word, and that's what blesses your life. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the word here? Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to start right there in verse 1. I have some good news. Our Erie building opened for good last night. Yeah, I had a dynamic service, and so I'll tell you what, that wasn't the completion of just my work or my faith by any means. That was a family project, and I appreciate your support, your faith, your praying, your giving. I'll tell you what, well, what an honor it is to be planting new local churches. After our service last night, we had a time of food and fellowship and just got to sit down with many people from the Erie community and talk. And I'll tell you what, they're so glad that we're there. Now, of course, there's many good Bible teaching ministries in that community. But there's just those that are called to that church and are so glad to be finding their church home. And so, praise the Lord. There is fruit abounding to your account. Maybe you've never even been there, seen it for yourself. Of course, you're always welcome to come and check it out. But I'll tell you what, the faithfulness, it takes the faithfulness of many to keep planting these churches. And you know what? What is happening here in our midst is really a rare thing. You don't see too many churches that are actually expanding in new locations and in a church congregation that is, you know, dedicated to doing that and giving whatever it takes, you know, praying whatever it takes, being faithful to do those things. So it's an honor to be used. Amen. It's an honor that God would choose us to do such a thing. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. I'm going to call this message today Covenant Faith. Covenant Faith. And you say, well, Pastor, what's the difference between faith and covenant faith? Well, actually, any time the word faith is mentioned in the Bible, it is covenant faith. And I'll tell you what we're talking about here in just a moment. But, you know, we have to forego the temptation to be shallow Christians. Because I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of shallow Christianity around, you know, in the body of Christ today, especially here in America. Churches are becoming more seeker-sensitive. They're becoming more, you know, entertainment-based and all this and that. And they're holding, you know, they're attracting people through all these different programs, and very little of it's based around the Word of God. And we have to be careful about that. I don't know about you, but I want to be a covenant faith man of the word, praise the Lord. See, Satan knows he cannot defeat the church, so what he's going to do, he's going to try to cheapen the church. He's going to try to get our understanding of God shallow, and he's going to try to make our persistence very cheap. I don't know about you, but I want, when God needs somebody on this earth, I want him to look at me. I want him to look at you and say, there's somebody I can go to, because covenant faith just keeps coming. You know, covenant faith does not give up. Amen. People that are going to walk in the highest and best that God has for them are going to be people of great persistence. Great persistence. You know, God needs people on this earth to materialize his plan. How many of you know that there's things right now in God's mind, in God's hand that are waiting for us in that realm, and He wants to materialize them in our lives, for this church, in your homes, in your businesses. It's all there. It's waiting, but He needs someone to cooperate on this side. You know, so many people, they have this idea that these things are just going to happen randomly. The Lord willing today, if the Lord's just willing today, then it'll happen. If not, we just got to keep on hoping that it will. No, if that's your mentality, it never will. God needs people of persistent faith that are going to bring those things out of that realm into this realm. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I want to materialize His reality. I don't want to keep, you know, just be subject to the reality of this realm. You know, aren't you glad that God has something more for you where you can't see, and you aren't subject to only the realm that you see? You're not just held in bondage by this economy, or, you know, the new diseases that are popping up on this earth, or the wars and the troubles and all the things that is on this earth. How many of you know that we have a heavenly home? And we have a godly plan for our life. That's what I want to live out of. And I'll tell you what, we're determined to have that. Praise the Lord. But of course, we're going to need to be a covenant people. And it's not going to happen in the lives of people that live a cheap Christian life. You know, God has, honestly, too many of that kind of Christianity, too much of that in our nation. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to go that direction. I want God to look at us and say, you know, that's a group of people I can use, because they're not going to give up. They're not going to give up at the first sign of resistance. They're not going to give up at the first sign of trouble. Amen. They're going to move and they're going to persist. Listen, that's exactly what do? When the devil resists, you persist. Amen. See, you know, the devil's going to try to make you a cheap consumer Christian. You know what I mean? That you're going to start treating the things of God casually, like you might, you know, a restaurant or a local business. You know, we live in a free market economy, and if you go to a restaurant and you don't like the food that they're serving at that restaurant, what do? You just simply don't go back, right? Or if you go to any business and you just don't like the service, or they don't have what you need, you simply just, you know, you make a different choice, and that's the free market, and we're glad to have that here, right? But in the church, how many of you know that that consumer mentality doesn't work? You know, the idea that, you know, that we start getting cheap, like, well, I can take church or leave church. You know, I can just come and go, and I can float around and be casual. Well, that's the kind of mentality that hurts Christian. And the devil knows that he's going to try to diminish the power of the church by making Christians just consumer-minded. You know, where people say, well, I'm going to go to that church because I like the praise and worship team. Or I'm going to go over here because I like their small groups. Or I'm going to go here. And people start pursuing the products of a ministry instead of hearing from heaven and knowing where God has connected you. I did not come to Family Church, you know, when it was just the Fredonia location, because they had the most talented singers around. Now, here we happen to have the most talented singers around. We're very, very blessed. But we don't, you know, we don't start choosing where our part is in the body of Christ based on their products. Well, I like this church for their children's. I like this church for their music. I like church for this. We need to be spiritual enough to hear from heaven and to know where God has connected us in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that He sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. Right? He sets us where it pleases Him. And you need to hear His voice and to know I'm connected there, and I'm not just some consumer Christian pursuing the products of a church. Well, amen. Because that makes it cheap. And the devil knows he cannot deny your existence. All right? We as the church, we're born again. We're alive. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. So we exist, and the devil can't prevent that now. He cannot deny your existence, but he can attack your persistence. He cannot deny your existence. You're here. Meaning, I don't mean just here in Family Church or here in another church. I'm talking God has made you alive. You are born again. You know, if you've accepted Jesus, you're alive with the power of God. The devil cannot stop that now. He cannot prevent it. And so now he has to attack your level of involvement. If he's going to attack something, he's going to attack your level of involvement. Or we could say this, he can't stop your existence. He's going to attack your persistence. You know where the plan of God is for your life? It's on the other side of your persistence. Just keep, you know, just being faithful day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. That's where it exists, because that's what covenant faith is. Covenant faith is persistent and it doesn't give up. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, I don't know. I'm wound up today. I'm just gonna tell you, I'm wound up. You know, I had a nice little family trip this past week. You know, I was suffering for Jesus down in southern Florida, you know, and so that was nice. But then everyone was sending me pictures here, and it was like in the 60s and 70s. I'm like, no. Couldn't you have taken a picture when it was like 25? You know. And then we landed the day, we got back just the other day, and on Friday, and we landed, and it was 74 degrees out. You know, and you say, well, Pastor, you shouldn't be complaining about that. Well, no, I needed all that warm weather to start once I landed, not to end once I landed. Amen. But I'm excited. I'm wound up. I've seen what, you know, God is doing. And I'll tell you, so much breakthrough. Listen, persistence will make up for what you don't know. There's going to be a lot of things in this life that you're going to come up against, and you just don't naturally have the knowledge. You know, you won't naturally know exactly what the course to take is. But the fact that you just keep coming, that you just keep coming, that you didn't give up, persistence will make up for what you don't know. I'm very glad. Just, you know, there's a lot of things I don't know. There is more that I don't know than I do. But in the sense, you know, the Bible says that we have an unction and we know all things. I'm talking about within my natural self. But as long as God sees that you just keep coming, he's going to make sure you get the knowledge you need, because you just kept showing up to that thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you entered into a life of covenant faith. Listen, I didn't enter into a cheap relationship with God. I didn't enter into a cheap relationship with anybody. From that day forward, covenant was going to govern my life. If you ever want to know anything about God, you have to understand this word, covenant. You have to know and understand. Without understanding covenant, you will never know God. Covenant is not a church word. It's not just church lingo. It's not just a word that you name a church after or something like that. It is the essence of everything in God's nature. Covenant is this. It is complete loyalty. It is complete faithfulness. Are you ready? Here's a definition of covenant faith. It is complete loyalty and faithfulness to the people, to the places, and to the projects that God has called you to. God will set relationships in your life. All right, that's the people. He will set you in certain places. That may include your local church. That'll include your place of employment. He will set you in places that you demonstrate your faithfulness to. And he will also assign to your life projects. Projects. And those projects could exist in your personal life and in your church life. And when I say this, you know, you say, well, Pastor, you're just saying this because you're a pastor. No, this is just true. The most important projects you will ever be called to are the projects that your local church is doing. Why? Because it's the projects we do together. God is more interested in what we do together than what we do as individuals. There are projects I don't lead. I don't get involved in the projects of this church because I'm the pastor. I get involved in the projects of this church because my life is connected. I'm connected to these covenant assignments, and I'm going to be faithful to them. I'm not going to give up on them. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the life that we entered into, covenant faith. I'll tell you what. You know, the person that looks out and sees a dusting of snow on the ground and says, this is a day to stay home from church, that's not a covenant faith person. You know, this is too cold today. I'm not getting out of bed. Sunday's my day off, and so I don't go to church because that's the only day off I have. They're not a covenant faith person. they're not going to walk into the miracles that God has for their life. There's going to be all this stuff in God's hand, and it's going to go unrealized because they can simply be that easily, they can be convinced out of the plan of God for their life. Oh, come on now. But it's amazing. If you held, if we put an ad in the paper and said that every person that shows up to a service will get a brand new $100 bill, I bet you every seat, you know, would be filled. You know, people would show up out of the woodwork because they think that $100 bill is the answer for their life. But what we get when we hear the word of God is priceless. Glory to God, because that $100 bill won't protect you from sickness and disease. It won't heal your child. It won't restore your marriage. Come on now. It won't get you in the right place. It won't work a miracle. Oh, come on. But so many people are so easily convinced out of the plan and purpose of God because they're not covenant faith people. Yeah, they're not loyal or faithful to the people, to the places, and to the projects that God has assigned them to. See, most people are looking for something. We are going to get to Hebrews 11:1, by the way. We are. This is my intro. It's my intro. And we're going to use the scriptures, obviously, going to fill in the spaces. Praise the Lord. But there's a lot of people today in our society that are looking for someone or something to get behind them to push them into greater things. They're looking for a support system. They're looking for something that will get behind them and usher them into a place of greatness. All right? And part of that is not wrong. I mean, yes, we need a support system. We need a church family. We need people to help us and things like that. But listen, I don't come to church with that mentality. I don't serve God from the standpoint of, okay, I'm just going to do this so people will get behind me and they'll make me successful. No, no, no. Covenant faith says, I'm going to find somebody or some place to get behind them, and I'm going to push them into success. Listen, the goal in this life with God is not to find out, you know, everything that you're going to get. The goal of this life with God is to get behind somebody else, to get behind a place, to get behind a project, and push that into reality. Amen. I'm not here to make myself successful. I'm here to make you successful. And in my covenant relationship with you, I am dedicated to getting behind you, to teach you the word, to be faithful as a pastor, to help be faithful in that covering that protects our life, and to help get behind you and to usher you into what God's plan is for your life. If you want to live a fulfilled life, stop looking at who is going to push you into success, and you get behind somebody else, get behind someplace else. Get behind a project that God has called you to and watch fulfillment surround your life. Glory to God. I'll tell you what. So many times Christians take their old life, their old way of thinking, and they apply it to this new life in God. Remember how selfish you were before you knew Jesus? You remember, it all was about you. Your friends would come and go based on, you know, if they could do something for you or not. Relationships would come and go based on what they could do for you. See, but when you got born again, your nature was reversed. All that selfishness has now switched around, and you're not looking for someone to get behind you anymore. You're looking to support somebody in the plan and purpose of God for your life. Oh, praise the Lord. But there's Christians just running around doing the product shopping. Consumer product shopping in the churches, you know, something as simple as, you know, a little snow or around here, it's usually the nice weather. You know what I mean? It's the nice weather that works on people harder. You know, summer will come around and all of a sudden, you know, all the home projects or all the recreational ideas start attacking someone's mind. Not covenant. That's not covenant faith. That's not covenant faith. All right, let's talk about the covenant people. These are relationships that you are called to. All right, covenant people. There are people in my life that I am assigned to their life. All right, first and foremost is your spouse. Your covenant spouse. You're in the highest covenant on this earth is marriage. Of course, first and foremost is our covenant with God through Jesus. Second, that in existence is marriage with your spouse. You know, in so many marriages today, They're getting into that relationship. They're entering in that marriage, hoping that their spouse will make them successful. You know, hoping that their spouse would just, you know, solve all their problems or the ill. No, don't look for your job is not to convince your spouse to support you. Your job is to get behind them and to promote their success. You are there to help their happiness, their joy. But so many times, it's always reading the dirty laundry list of how they fall short with you. You're not supposed to keep a list of how they fall short. Because if you keep a list of all their shortcomings, you'll always have that list. Yeah, because they're always going to fall short in some way. But your job is to get behind them. And yes, I understand that there's times when they don't get behind you and they don't fulfill their covenant role, and it can lead to, you know, breakups and so on and so forth. But so many times people are looking to increase their marriage. Listen, you know, the old saying that the grass is greener on the other side. You think that a new relationship is going to solve it. Well, of course, I quote another minister when he said, just water your own grass. Take care of what you have. It's so many times it's not another relationship that you need. You need to take care of the one you have. So many times it's not a new church that you need. You need to take care of the one that you have. Praise the Lord. You know, you need to, so many times people say, oh, if I had this or if I had that, I have this. No, how about just take care of what you have? Amen. People say, oh, I just need more money. Well, why don't you be faithful with the money you have? I need this. Well, take care of the one that you have. See, that's what covenant faith is. It's faithful to the people. Obviously, the people you're called to, number one, your spouse, also your children are included in that. Do you understand that your faithfulness of God is an act of faithfulness to your kids? I'm going to say that again. Your loyalty to the things of God is an act of loyalty to your children. Rebellion against God for a parent is rebellion against their children. A lack of faithfulness in what you know to do for God and you don't do it, you are putting your kids at risk. People say, well, I don't believe in that tithing business. Well, the question is, do you know that the Bible says you're supposed to tithe? Yeah, I know it's supposed to tithe, but I don't do it. Well, you're putting your whole family at risk. Say, well, I don't know. Well, no, the Bible says you will not cast forth your fruit before the time in the field, thus saith the Lord. He says he would rebuke the devourer for the tither's sake. So many Christians are in, I don't know, this is just coming out of my spirit. I'm not preaching off the notes anymore. You know, so many times, you know, Christians are standing around, why me, why me? And, you know, and I'll have to sit in my office, the first question out of my mouth, are you a tither? Well, no, we can't afford it. No, you can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. Like, what do you mean? Like, well, Pastor, I'm just wondering why destruction came. But I'm not a tither. When the Bible spells it out, destruction comes. Basically, you know, Malachi 3:9 says that, well, you're cursed with a curse, you and this whole nation, because you have not been a tither. He says, but where is this coming from? I'll tell you where. It's coming from the Holy Ghost. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Don't wonder why the devourer came and destroyed something if you aren't being faithful to the word. And it's not a family church idea. If you're visiting from another church and you're going back to your home church, do that there. Because it's not your church's idea. It's not our idea. It's God's idea. Tithing was never meant to take anything out of my life. It was providing a way. God was saying, I'm going to set it up so I can have means of protecting them. God was saying, I'm going to give them a principle to participate. Does God need your tithe? No, you've heard me say this before. You know, I let you into the back room of ministry. Guess what? When you bring your tithe to the local church here, we have no angels that take it up to heaven. You know, you know, not to cheapen it or anything, but you know what it happens? It just gets deposited. And it's paying to keep these lights on. It keeps these doors open. It pays our staff. It sets pays all the utilities. It sets up other church locations, all the things that are happening, because that money does not go up to heaven. God says all the gold and silver is mine. He says I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I own the hills too. So it's not like God is desperate for money. It's not, he didn't do that just for him. He did that for us. This was not part of my message. I didn't preach it last night in Erie. I'm just, the Spirit of God is bringing that out. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. Say, well, what is that? I was saying that based on your faithfulness is an act of loyalty to your kids. My children cannot afford a father who is not diligent with the things of God. My wife cannot afford a father who's not diligent in the things of God. Our marriage can't afford that. You'll say, well, I don't know why our marriage is struggling. I'll tell you why your marriage is struggling. Because one of you, at least, is not being faithful to God. There is no such thing as two loving parents who are both in love with Jesus and treat each other like Jesus taught them to treat one another that don't have heaven on earth. It doesn't exist. Say, well, Pastor, I don't know. We did everything we could, but it just didn't work. No, then you didn't do everything you could. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand. It says, when you've done all, you will stand. Ephesians chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Well, I've tried everything and it doesn't work. Yeah, good answer. Yeah, you're right. The Word of God didn't work. That's what you're saying. Say, well, yeah, that's exactly right. My wife just said, let God be true, let every man be a liar. Listen, I'll tell you what, if something fell apart, it was never God's fault. Never God's fault. Woo, praise the Lord. Some of you are thinking, Pastor, go back to Florida, please. Listen, I was pacing the floor Sunday morning. I'm sitting there looking at my watch. Okay, Pastor Brad's probably preaching right now. Okay, you know, just I'm thinking about you. I was. And I'm about to cry. Good men cry, right, Pastor Brad? Me and Pastor Brad, we're not ashamed to cry in the pulpit. But if you mess with us, we'll knock you out. Don't confuse crying with a lack of strength. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So let's be covenant people, people that are looking to get behind. Listen, I am behind my pastor. I have a pastor just like you do. And I understand that that is an assigned relationship to my life. That is assigned relationship to my life. You know what? I better read a scripture because I feel like I'm preaching just a little too long without reading a verse. So you understand where all this is coming from. The teacher in me is on revolt right now. Like, read a scripture, read a scripture. Well, let's read so you understand. Hebrews 11:1. I'm wound up, and I don't mind telling you so. I'll tell you what, if you get it more excited about something else than you do about the things of God, there is something wrong with you. There's just something wrong. You know, well, Pat, I just was coming for a homily. Well, we don't give homilies here. I wanted 3 points in a poem. Well, we're not getting that either. Something about sunshine. I got in Florida, I'm like, what is that big burning ball in the sky? What is that thing? What is, you know, I was like, what's that blue stuff? I don't know what it is, but I like it. Verse 1. Now faith is. See, this is why I'm excited, and this is what we're talking about. Faith is, you could say covenant faith is. Covenant faith that doesn't give up, that faith that is dedicated to the people, places, and projects that God has called you to. Now, you could say that, because all faith in the Bible is only covenant faith. It's, listen, you can confess all day long. You can quote scripture all day long, but if you aren't loyal, it won't work. Because confession only works when your actions match. Yep. Because the root word of faithfulness is faith. Without faith, you have no fullness, right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Covenant faith, persistent faith, day in, day out faith, week in, week out faith, right? Is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'll tell you what, you are benefiting from a lot of substance today. All right? Aren't you glad that your shoes are made out of substance? That means it's tangible. Aren't you glad for the materials that you're wearing in your clothes? Aren't you glad you showed up with clothes on today? Not half as glad as I am. Praise the Lord. You know, you're benefiting from substance. Your house was made out of substance. There's raw materials, your car, all those materials. How many of you know that you need things that materialize in this realm? Guess what is going to materialize the plan of God in your life? Covenant faith. It literally turns the things that you hope will happen into reality. How many of you, there's a lot of Christians that are sitting around just hoping things will change. Just hoping it'll get better. I hope my marriage will be restored. I hope my children do better. I hope my finances increase. I hope I get healed. I hope. Hope is good, but it's not as good as faith. Hope is the beginning, but it is not the end. You can hope all day and God will do nothing. God will provide the hope. You know what hope is? Hope is when you look into the Word and realize, you know, it could be different. This could change. But we can't just leave it at that. We can't just leave it, well, it could change. We have to let it, hope become faith and say, it will change. Hope says it might happen. Faith says it will happen. Glory to God. Faith says, if I add faith to my hope, it is going to materialize in this realm. The things that God has for you, listen, you can't see them right now. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, right? Neither has the mind of man conceived the things that God has for those that love Him. Okay, and let me tell you, it's better than where you're sitting right now for all of us. What's in the hand of God is better than what you're living at this very moment. It always is better. All right? And so the Bible says that God has things in His realm waiting for us. And faith, you know, those things aren't substance in this realm at the moment. But God wants it to materialize in this realm. He says, so when you start hoping, add faith to your hope. All right? And that plan of God, those things that God has for you are going to start materializing in this realm. Let me read you, this is kind of, as I've studied, as I've looked at the Greek and stuff, I kind of reworded verse 1 to try to help you understand. These are just my words. This is simply my paraphrase of this verse, and I hope that it helps you to understand. All right, you ready for this? Faith finishes what hope started. What hope made available, faith made certain and materialized a new reality. I'll read it again. Faith finishes what hope started. Listen, I love when people walk in here and they hear the promises of God. The first thing that happens is that they're given hope. However, it can't just stay there. They got to add faith to that hope if it's going to materialize. But you know what hope is? Hope is when you realize that something else is available. Hope is when the sick person walks in and hears a healing verse and starts to realize that there's healing is available. Or when the poor person walks in and they hear the scripture on the provision of God and they realize that provision is available. Jesus said, you know, Jesus, of course, said, I have come to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What was He doing? He was bringing hope to people that had none. They heard it, and they heard the gospel for the first time, and they started realizing, I don't have to be poor forever. Or they heard the gospel and said, I don't have to be sick forever. I don't have to be condemned to hell forever. I don't have to be lost. I don't have to be confused. I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be in fear anymore. And their hope started to build. But if you leave it there, it will never materialize. Because hope says, it might happen. But then all of a sudden you start to step up and you say, it will happen. It will happen. All right? All right? So like, you know, again, this is my translation or my paraphrase. Faith finishes what hope started. Isn't it good to know if you can hope it, you can have it?
Yeah.
Of course, first and foremost, based on the promise of God. But you can look at a healing scripture. You can look at Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Forgives all my sins, who heals all my diseases. You can look at that scripture and get hope. All right, you can look at it and say, okay, things could be different. And you say, okay, now I got to take it one step further. I have to add something to it. I have to say, Father God, I believe it is different.
Yes.
Not just it might be, not that I hope that it happens. All right, you got to add your faith to it. All right, amen. See, covenant people, relationships in your life, people that you're called and assigned to, they need your faith. Your children need your faith. They need somebody. Don't you want to help materialize things in the lives of your children? Yeah, that's what covenant faith parents do. They release their faith. They're always saying, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. My God shall supply all my needs. And what they're doing is that they're turning their hope into faith, and that is going to trickle down to their children. Amen. Don't you want to get behind your local church and use your faith to materialize the plan of God for that local family? Amen. Praise the Lord. I say every single day, this church has all the personnel, all the money that this church needs, all the provision this church needs. 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name. What am I doing? I'm just getting behind the assignments and the places that God has called me to. Because my life is connected. My life is going to go the direction that this place goes. You know, also, speaking of covenant people, guess who? Not only your spouse, your children. Here's another one, your employer. Your employer. It is wrong to take a paycheck and then criticize your boss. It is wrong to talk trash about them and then enjoy the paycheck of it. Don't you do that. Listen, you know, you got to ask yourself, are you using your faith for your business or the company that you work for? Are you using your faith for your employer? See, because when they hired you, if you're a born-again believer, especially one that has taught the things of faith, guess what they also hired? They hired your faith. When somebody comes on staff here at this church, I don't hire anybody without hiring their faith. I will literally tell them, I need your faith on this. I need your faith on the finances. I need your faith on the worship team. I need your faith on this. Whatever their department is, I need your faith on it. I'm not, you know, not just punching a time clock and signing a paycheck. Amen. Are you working for the paycheck or are you working for the company? Because there's a difference. Because working for the paycheck says, here, I'm taking out of the place. Working for the company says, I'm putting into the place. Amen. Covenant faith. The people, the relationships. Here's another one that's honestly higher on the list than even your employer. How about your church family? This relationship that we have together, it is God appointed. And so I'm going to be faithful to it. And I'm going to be faithful to you. Do you know, and I'm not saying this to toot my own horn here or try to sound arrogant or anything. You know, but over 11 years of being a full-time pastor, you know, there's been hundreds of people that have left me. But I have not left anybody. And I'm not saying that to sound arrogant. Hundreds can leave me, but I have never left them. Amen. I have been faithful to show up every week, to feed on the Word, to feed the people the Word of God. Listen, I can't promise that the Word's never going to challenge you. It's going to. It's going to convict you. Oh, but see, here's the thing. I don't leave people that I'm called to. I've made a decision to be covenant faith. That doesn't mean I'm going to be able to go out for a cheeseburger with everybody. It doesn't mean we're going to have coffee like every day of the week or all that often. It's not about, friendship is not first. There's something higher than friendship on this earth. It's called fellowship. I'm in fellowship with you. My prayers, my faith, my life is connected to yours. Amen. See, I don't come here with a consumer mentality. You know, I come here with the idea of being faithful to you. Faithful to you. Amen. Covenant relationships, covenant faith, the people that you're connected to, all right? What about the places that you're connected to? All right, your home. Are you faithful to your home? I've kind of covered this already. But a rebellion against God is a rebellion against your home. A lack of persistence in faith is an attack on your home. Don't do that. Don't do that. Listen, you have no idea how your actions are putting your kids at risk. Come on now. Ooh, we get quiet about that. You know, well, I don't discipline my kids. I've bought into this new idea that's going around that we just let kids discover life on their own. Foolish. Well, we don't discipline our kids because I'm scared that my kid won't want to be my friend. You're a parent first. You're not a friend first. Well, I'm scared to, you know, speak up into their life because they're going to reject me or whatever. Listen, if you're a parent with a child, I don't care what age they are, you are the first level of their conscience. If you aren't giving them a conscience, they are not born with one. The Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction drives it far from them. Pastor, I don't believe in spanking my children. Well, I don't care. Because what you believe is against what the Word of God says. You let your child go and figure out life on their own in the name of some liberal creativity. Well, you know what's in the heart of your child is foolishness. And I don't care, you know, what family they come from or how good or how much money you had. They're not going to make good decisions without you teaching and disciplining them until you build a conscience into them. And there is a right and a wrong way to spank a child. The wrong way is with anger. The wrong way is out of frustration. The right way is controlled and measured. All right? If my boys need a spank, it's never done in anger. I give it some time. I tell them exactly what they're getting spanked for. This is what you did. This is what's wrong. This is how many spanks you're going to get. Yeah. It's very calculated. It's very controlled. And I'll tell you what, the paddle will work itself out of a job. You stick to it. You watch that child grow up right. Oh, but I just believe this idea. We got to let children expand their mind and come, you know, go, you know, do everything on their own. You're foolish. Your heart is going to be pierced with so many sorrows when your child gets older, because that child needs a conscience built into them, and that's your job. Proverbs 22:6 is, you train up a child in the way they should go. Pastor, did you come back from Florida trying to chase people out of your church? No. I came back from Florida rearing and revved up for what the Spirit of God has to say. You know what? Because I want better for your life. You know what? I want you to enjoy that relationship with your children. Yeah, you know? You want to be able to, you should have children that you can take to the fanciest restaurant in town. And they sit there. And they know how to sit. So many people, you know, they criticize this church because, I can't tell you the countless messages that we've received because we have children that are 7 years old and older that sit in our main service. Listen, that is a good thing. You need to teach your children to sit and hear from their pastor. Because these kids that grow up in these ministries, that they're just in church and, where they're in these, they're removed from the main service and they go into their own service and it's just entertainment and it's fun and it's games and that's all they do. And then all of a sudden they're 18 years old, they get released, you know, to go into the real church. They don't go to church. They're like, well, what's this? Where's the laser lights? You know, where's the guy in the Barney suit or whatever, you know? And of course, you know, when our kids go over there, they're having a great time. I mean, there is music and stuff. Don't misunderstand me. But I mean, a child needs to learn to sit and hear the voice of their pastor. Say, Pastor, my kid just can't sit that long. Well, train them. Train them. Well, praise the Lord. This has taken such a different direction. Yeah. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Amen. God has given you a powerful force to materialize things in this world. All right? For the people around you, for the places you're called to. And how about we talk about this? Thirdly, the projects. The assignments of God that He has called you to. And I will say, they say, well, what are the assignments of God for my life? What do you mean the projects? Listen, projects can include any and all of the following and some that we obviously won't mention. When God puts some person on your heart to pray for them, that is an assignment of God. There are going to be people in your life, no doubt friends, family members, that they themselves are a prayer project for you, that you will pray for them every day, and it could be for years. Could be for years, all right? That's a prayer project. That would, absolutely be included in this. You know, the prayer project, the people. You will have people that you work with at your place of employment. They will be a love project. Do you have anybody in your life that is a love project? What does a project mean? They need a little work. And believe me, you do too. But we're not saying you don't or I don't. We all need work. But we understand that. Are there people that you work with that they don't know Jesus, or people in your family or wherever they're at, and they just know how to push every button, pull every lever that just annoys you to no end? Okay, I guess I'm the only one. They are not someone to criticize. They are a love project. All right, the goodness of God leads men to repentance. You might be the only Jesus that they ever see. All right, that would be a project of God. God can put on your heart. God will give you a project to give to somebody. I mean, He'll all of a sudden drop in your heart, give so-and-so $50. Give them $50 once a month for the next year. I don't know what it is. You know, the Holy Ghost can assign you to stuff. The Spirit of God has given me assignments like that before, and my natural mind just goes on tilt when you hear stuff like that. You know, I'm going to say something, since this has not been the day to hold back on anything. Let's just keep it rolling, shall we? You know, I have paid for more people to leave this church. I mean, I cannot tell you. You say, well, Pastor, how much? I mean, the Spirit of God has dropped assignments on me so many times where the Lord will say, give so-and-so $500. Them? I mean, I know you've never had thoughts like that. Like, but Lord, they're not even really serving you that faithfully, and give them $500. And, you know, I do that. 2 weeks later, they're out the door. And I gave it anonymously. They don't know it was from me, you know. And so if you're sitting here and you've received an anonymous envelope lately, it just might be your ticket out of here. I'm kidding. But it seems like the Lord will inspire. Give so-and-so. You know, and I've seen so many times, not all of them, but several times. It's like, I'm sorry, asking God, why am I, you would think if anything, and the Lord puts it on my heart and said, that is to show them that was an act of goodness, so they will never be able to speak a word, and every word they would ever speak against you or, the ministry, it would, convict them and challenge them, that they would look back on that because they're about to go through hard times. See, people are going through hard times, and they'll go through hard times in their marriage, they'll go hard times in their finances, and when those distractions come, people get tempted to leave churches. Not just this one, all of them. You know, if anyone's ever left a church before and abandoned the place of God, it's usually for two reasons. It's because of money and marriage and money. I mean, those two things. If someone gets tempted to not be faithful with God, it's usually because their marriage is struggling or their finances are struggling, and typically it's both. And so many times the Lord will say, well, give this, because that typically is a sign that hard times are coming. And if they abandon their place of help, God will not be blamed. That when they go back, that God is so good that when they get into hard times and they look back in their life and they'll say, where was I the happiest? Where was I the strongest? They'll remember, listen, that church was good to me. That church was good to me. I need to get back. I need to go where the mercy was. And so many times the Lord will have me to do that because I see them being tempted to leave their place of of help. And it just seems like every time, so many times the Spirit of God will come on me and, I'll be, what am I doing? I'm just being faithful to that assignment. And just for the record, I have not given any of those envelopes recently, so chances are you're safe. But God is good. He will always give us a reminder of where His goodness was. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. Time is just slipped away from us. Oh, but we still got a lot of time left. Listen, hope can be washed away, but faith cannot be washed away. There are things that can try to destroy your hope, but faith cannot be destroyed. Come on. Amen. You know the difference is go over there. You're in Hebrews 11. Go back to chapter 10 and look at verse 23. We're going to look at this and we're going to get ready to close. You know why we're going to get ready to close? Because I sense the anointing lifting off me. The anointing of God is just starting to lift from me. And so many times in the past, I have just tried to teach through that and I've learned that lesson. And so we're going to, we're going to look at one scripture. We're going to preach on it for a half a second. Probably a little bit more than that, but then we're going to dismiss and do whatever else the Holy Ghost would have us to do. Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. The profession there, it means your confession. It's not your career or your job that it's talking about. It's talking about the words of your mouth. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He, God, is faithful that promise. Listen, you will have whatever you don't let go of. What you don't let go of will materialize. It says, hold fast. Many of you know that I was trained as a sailor. I was licensed to captain a charter boat of up to 51 feet. I did all that years ago. And, of course, I had sail training and was certified and all this stuff. And there's, when you're in command of a vessel and you have crew that are helping you, especially on a sailing vessel, there's a term, it's called make it fast. And that doesn't mean make it quick. The word make it fast means to tie it down. Because in a sailboat, there's a lot of lines, that control the sails and stuff. And you'll tell, someone on your crew, hey, make it fast. And they better know the exact knot or the hitch. When they're going to cleat that line, they better do it right so it does not come undone. If it comes undone, it's going to slow down the boat, stop the boat. The boat won't be as efficient as it could be. And so you say, make it fast. And that means tie it down, hold it down so it does not break away. And that's exactly what this scripture is telling us. Make it fast. Hold fast what you're confessing out of your mouth and don't let circumstances try to come and destroy it or to stop you from saying it, because whatever you hold on to, that is what is going to materialize. Whatever you let go of, you will not have. See, I'll tell you what. Don't let go of your spouse. Don't let go of your children. Don't let go of those loved ones. Even if your loved one is sinning and sinning bad, you just keep that confession of faith rolling for them. They will serve in the house of the Lord. They will know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They will come to follow God. They will bear fruit in old age. You just keep it going. And even though the circumstances look so far away, remember what the scripture says, though, in Romans 10. It says the word is nigh to them. Even in their heart, in their mouth, the word of faith that we preach. Don't ever think that salvation is far away for somebody, because it's not. It's there in their heart, it's there in their mouth, just waiting to be confessed. Even though their actions might not look like it, you just keep that profession of faith rolling for them. And whatever you hold fast, that's what's going to materialize. Amen. See, this is what covenant faith is. It's persistent. It just doesn't let go. I tell you what, keep that persistence up, for your spouse. I say every day, for my wife, she is strengthened with all might of the Holy Ghost to her spirit. And I'm not trying to in any way take any credit for anything that God has done in the life of my wife, but I have noticed, and I'm sure all of you have as well, that the anointing on my wife's life in the last few years, honestly, it was since 2012, I've taken note, Of course, Dr. Dufresne spoke some things to her, you know, with us privately and other ministers as well. But since I picked up that confession from my wife, she's strengthened with all might of the Holy Ghost to her spirit. That, by the way, is a scripture out of the book of Ephesians. I'm sure you're well aware of that. And I've just seen, I just confess that every day, every day. And I've seen her be so strengthened by the Holy Ghost in her spirit. You know, that's exactly how she's used, you know, strong in spirit, and just seeing her increase. Well, why? Because persistence in faith, persistence in faith. Say, well, Pastor, I've been confessing and I haven't seen much results over the year. Well, of course, their decision is part of it too, all right? It's not strictly your faith, but I tell you what, you're making power available for them. Did you get anything out of this here today? This was kind of a splatter barrel sermon. It was one sermon, but I think there was probably 10 different sermons in there. But that's what you get when you come to a spirit-led place. You're going to get what you need. You're going to get what you need. And you need to ask yourself, what kind of Christian are you going to be? Are you going to be shallow and cheap, or are you going to be covenant faith? Covenant faith. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just visiting with friends and family, and I have a church, you know, back home. Listen, this applies to every born-again Christian in the earth. This is not a family church idea. Amen? Because you know who God's going to use? You know who's going to materialize? Do you realize God wants to make himself known? Do you know that every new church that is planted, do you know when a building like this is built, or a building like in Erie or in Mayville or in Tonawanda, and those churches are established, do you know people drive by that? And they look at that and they say, wow, there's a church in that place now. The furniture store isn't a furniture store anymore. There's a church there. What is that? That visibility is speaking to their heart. Look what God's doing. God, you know, when he finds people that will get behind his projects and those buildings are symbols and a testimony of his desire to be known. You know, I've heard over the years several times people have come into this church, they drove by, and they said, Pastor, you know, the reason why we came here is just we were driving by, and we saw that building, and we just thought, we got to go in there and check it out. Do you realize that since this building has been open, there has been about 600 people that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior just in this building alone? You realize that? You say, well, you know, how'd that happen? Because people like you got behind the projects of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can't you wait to see the crowd of people in heaven someday that you will have, you know, a part of that? I'm looking forward to that. I got a lot of years to go before I do, but I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to that. Amen. And we will stand there together. It won't be me standing there by myself. Because if you ever think you've done anything by yourself, you are deceived. Get something out of this today? If you didn't, I sure did. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. Yeah, Father, we thank you for the words of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the words of the Bible. Father, we just give you all the praise and glory. And Father, we understand that there's things that we hear at times that are challenging to us and to our thinking. But Father, you said to not be conformed to the image of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may approve and know what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Thank you, Father. Yeah, it might hurt for a second, but it blesses our entire life. We thank you for correction. For as many as you love, you correct, even as a father in the Son in whom he delights. Father, you delight in us, so therefore we receive your correction. Father, you're so good. I thank you for this church family. Father, I'd like to share this with my church family. My wife and I talk about it all the time, that we are honored to pastor the best church in the world. And Father, because there's people here of covenant faith, and I thank you for every single one of them. And the glory goes to you, because apart from you, we can do nothing. Lord Jesus, we exalt you. We thank you. And Father, we thank you for the people that you've placed us with. Our spouses, our children, our employers, our pastor, our church family. Father, we thank you for the places that we're connected to, our home, our place of work, our local church. And Father, we really should put the local church at the beginning of that list. Because our homes are blessed because of what we receive in the house of God. And Father, we thank you for the projects that you've called us to, personal projects. Also, projects regarding the local church, whatever our church is doing, that's an assignment to us. Thank you for it. We give you all the praise and glory. We give you all the praise and glory.